Welcome to Atheist Talk on KTNF AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. Good morning to all of you joining us locally by radio and streaming online. We appreciate you tuning in. Today is Sunday, May 5th. My name is Maddie Love, and with me in studio is Stephanie Zvan. We are excited to be joined via Skype by Nick Fish, the president of American Atheists. This is an open conversation. We welcome and encourage listener interaction with your phone calls to 952-946-6205, your emails to radio at mnatheist.org, comment on the Facebook thread, or tweet us over at Atheist Talk. Stephanie, thanks for joining me in studio, and Nick, it's wonderful to chat with you again.
Good morning, Maddie.
Good morning.
So, Nick, first off, congratulations on completing your first conference as president of American Atheists.
Thank you so much. It was really great to see you. It's funny. It was my first one as president, but I think this is my sixth or seventh one now. So we've sort of gotten into a rhythm with it, which is great, I suppose. But there's always a lot more than you initially realize when you're putting together these things, as you absolutely know.
Yes, yes. Conferences never quite run smoothly.
No.
Even when they're great, they don't run smoothly.
Right, and that's sort of the key. It's, you know, it's that old saying about like weddings, that the bride, the groom, and the event planner know when every little thing goes wrong, but as long as the guests have a good time and don't see it, then that's a successful event, no matter what crisis happened. And that's always how it is. You expect one crisis at least, and we had ours right away and got it out of the way. And then everything went smoothly from there. So that's about all you can ask.
I don't even remember you having a crisis, so you did See? Pretty well. So I did notice that unlike the last couple of conferences that American Atheists has put on, this one wasn't really about celebrity. Jim Obergefell did give one of your keynote speeches, and people who pay attention to Supreme Court cases will know who he is, but he's not exactly a household name. Was that a deliberate choice on your part?
Yeah, it absolutely was. I think we're when a Supreme Court plaintiff whose case fundamentally altered the lives of millions of Americans and with the decision that gave us the right to get married across the country, doesn't count as a celebrity. I think we're doing pretty well. That's kind of what we want. The thing that was more important to us was people having a compelling story to tell about their experiences as atheists, about their experiences sort of moving through the world as atheists and as organizers and as activists, and what that means to them in the context of telling their story and putting a human face on this community. That's one of the things that, you know, I don't think we've done the best job of over the last few years. I think we've gotten the religious criticism down. We've gotten to there is no God. Now we need to get to what do we do next? And part of breaking down the stigma associated with our community and breaking down those barriers is putting that face on our community, and it can't just be one person. There are so many compelling stories out there that people need to hear, and that people just need a platform for. They just need to be given a microphone to tell that story. We have all of these examples of religious privilege causing people harm, and we can point to those and say, you know, this is why religion is bad, but what better messenger than the people that religion is actually harming? Or that religion is being used as a weapon against. And so Jim, despite the fact that he, you know, has some amount of celebrity, Jim has that story. But so does Gail Jordan, and so does Kevin Bowling, talking about the impact on students, and so do everybody that we put up on stage. And that's why I thought it was so important for us to think about the way that we programmed and the way that we gave people a platform to highlight those stories. And that's why, you know, the theme of the conference was everyday activism and what can we all do in our communities to move the needle toward equality. That's a big part of it, is just telling those stories.
All right. There were a couple of other topics that I heard everybody talking about as they came out of various talks. You want to tell us a little bit about your speaker who covered child marriage? Because that's just something that really until now we haven't heard about within the movement.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're working with a group called Unchained at Last. And the founder of that group is a fantastic, just firebrand woman by the name of Frady Reese, who is not afraid to stir things up. But she's doing it for a good reason. And she's doing it because she herself was forced into an arranged marriage as part of a conservative religious group. Not given any education, you know, women were sort of expected to be mothers and that was it. And she eventually left that religious group, got a divorce, got her kids, went back to school, and founded a group to help other women escape from these arranged marriages. And so we've worked with them now in multiple states, including Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and I believe Connecticut and Delaware, working to end the practice of child marriage, because across the country right now, the vast majority of states, I think it's over 40 states, allow marriages under the age of 18, either as a matter of course or have exemptions in the child in the law that allow children to get married as long as it's for a religious reason and with the sign off of their parents, which doesn't at all stop child marriages. I mean, the only reason or the most frequent reason that anyone is getting married at 15, 14, or even 13 in some cases is because of religion and a religious sort of a religious context of an extremely conservative arranged marriage. A 13-year-old is not running out and saying, oh, I think I want to get married. They're being forced into something, and that's what we need to stop. And so we're working with Unchained at Last and Frady to put in place laws that stop that, 18 and over, period, and with no religious exemptions. And that's, you know, a difficult lift in some cases, and it certainly is at the federal level, where, you know, some of our more traditional allies are saying, well, wait a second, we don't know that we like this, because what about this one religion that, you know, maybe they want to get married, or immigrants, or they may view it as some sort of anti-immigrant bend or something like that. And it's like, no, we're protecting kids here. Like this is not complicated. We think 18 is a perfectly fine age to get married at. And, you know, if there's an exemption that needs to be made, then, you know, religion isn't it. And, it's really unfortunate that we're running up against a lot of, resistance, from all sides of the political spectrum, quite honestly, but, it's a huge issue that no one talks about, not just within this community, but nationwide. Nobody thinks that this happens in the U.S., and yet the numbers are pretty stark when you start digging in on exactly how many kids we're talking about.
And just worth pointing out, a lot like with when we're talking about teen pregnancy, we're not, for the most part, talking about, say, two 13-year-olds who go to their parents and want to get married. We are mostly talking about young women marrying much older men.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the bulk of the cases. But there are certain times when it will be a younger girl, sometimes being married to a slightly older, still child boy, as an arranged marriage. That's some part of the sort of familial, you know, like an arranged forced marriage. But yes, the biggest issue is exactly what you're talking about with much older men.
All right. Were there any other topics at the conference that are probably things we haven't really talked about as a movement?
You know, we did a lot of workshops as well. We did breakout sessions for the first time in quite a number of years that focused on very specific areas of leading a group, starting a podcast, getting more access to grant making, becoming a 501c3 as a group, lobbying and things like that. We also had folks get up on stage and talk about so-called gender ideology, which is a really pervasive narrative that was created, I think, back in the 1980s by really conservative Catholic elements that wanted to use religion as a weapon against LGBT people, trans people, specifically people who didn't conform to really rigid gender roles. And so we had a researcher from Public Research Associates, Heron Greensmith, and they got on stage and talked a little bit about the history of so-called gender ideology and how religion is at the core of that sort of resurgence in that we're seeing now.
All right. We have about a minute and a half before break. I want to talk about specifically what Debbie and Allison are doing after the break, but you want to introduce us to American Atheists' new VPs? They're not joining us, but...
No, absolutely. We have a really fantastic team joining us at American Atheists. We had Allison Gill, who is our Vice President for Legal and Policy, who joined us last year at the beginning of the year. So she's been with us now a year and a half. She focuses on state legislation, but is a policy expert on she came to us from the LGBTQ movement. But she's just a fantastic advocate and extremely knowledgeable about all things related to state policy. Debbie Goddard joined us at the beginning of the year / late last year from the Center for Inquiry, where she worked in the outreach department. And she's handling a lot of our grassroots programs and our events and things like that. So
we just lost Nick, Hunter.
Realize I don't know. The Skype cut out.
Well, thankfully, we only had like 45 seconds left until we went to break. I mean, what Nick was talking about was important.
Yes.
You really want to know these people, but at least it wasn't like at the beginning of a segment.
Yeah. I've had a chance at this point to work quite a bit with Debbie and a little bit with Allison, and I'm pretty sure Nick was just going to wax rhapsodic for a few seconds there, which I totally support.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think I've ever met these people, but I know them from their online personalities.
Yeah.
All right. Well, please move us to the break. Stephanie and I will return to Atheist Talk with our guest, Nick Fish, president of American Atheist. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Minnesota is the home of heroes. Dock and Lift in Spring Park recognizes all of our local military members. A world of thanks to those who serve and their families for securing peace and prosperity for our country. Freedom rings because of your great sacrifice. Brave hearts who continue to lay down their own lives to protect and defend ours. Dock and Lift in Spring Park. We love our freedom, so we support our troops. We live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell.
Freddie, this generation of the baby boomers, people are living longer, so the baby boomers are taking care of elderly parents.
Let's talk about your health, and specifically, let's talk about Medicare. Our show features the concerns of America's 78 million baby boomers in employment, finance, health and nutrition, and even entertainment.
Catch New Beginnings with Freddie Bell, Saturdays at 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe, and I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and Francine Dinah. If you've never been to Cucumbers, it's a buffet-style restaurant with a huge variety of salads, homemade soups, bakery items, and hot entrees that change daily and nightly, plus our always fresh fruit and delicious ice cream. We're open for lunch and dinner, but Sunday brunch is my favorite time at Cucumbers, with scrambled eggs, waffles, French toast, bacon, sausage, baked ham, chicken fajitas, brunch potatoes, warm gooey cinnamon rolls, and many other items to choose from. It's no wonder why Cucumbers has always been a popular Sunday destination. So whether you're looking to skip Mass, someplace to go after Mass, or just great food to maintain your Mass, Cucumbers is the answer to your prayers. Bring in your church bulletin or Minnesota Atheist newsletter and receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France in Edina.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
Welcome Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, joined in studio by my co-host, Stephanie Zvan. And in just a moment, we'll return to our guest, Nick Fish, president of American Atheists. I know you just finished listening to commercials, but I wanted to give my weekly thank you to both Minnesota Atheists and Cucumbers Restaurant in Edina for their support of Atheist Talk. If you've listened to Atheist Talk in your car, consider taking 62 or 494 to France Avenue and then heading over to Cucumbers and join Minnesota Atheists for brunch today. The get-together starts at 10:30, and just let the friendly, helpful staff know you're joining Minnesota Atheists for brunch, and Cucumbers has seating as expansive as their buffet. We always have room for new faces, and yes, Cucumbers is one of our sponsors, but they are truly awesome, and we thank them for their continued support. If you would like to advertise in this program and help keep us on the air, please contact us at radio@mnatheist.org. And now, back to Nick Fish, president of American Atheists. If you'd like to get involved in the conversation, you can call us at 952-946-6205. Email us at radio@mnatheist.org. Join the thread on Facebook or tweet us at Atheist Talk.
All right. Welcome back, Nick. Glad we got your voice back.
Yeah, thank you. Sorry about that.
I'm sure it was us. So we were talking about your new VPs. Allison, as you mentioned, is not that new. But I would love for you to tell us a little bit about what she is doing about Project Blitz.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is one of those things that is, again, sort of flying under the radar for anyone who isn't really plugged into our work, which is really unfortunate. And Project Blitz, for anyone who isn't familiar with it, is a campaign by, I guess you could even say, self-identified Christian nationalists who want to put in place religious law, essentially. And the way that they're doing it, and this is, again, very explicit, they've put their guide up online. They're just saying it out loud because they don't think anyone's going to stop them. Their tactic is to blitz the states, the state legislatures, where, you know, we have, because of term limits and budgetary reasons and all of that, there are legislators that aren't very familiar with the process. And so they take these bills, these model pieces of legislation that are put forward by these prayer caucuses, and say, oh, that sounds great because it defends religious freedom. And they implement it and they pass it. And so they start small. They start with these really symbolic pieces of legislation, things that look like, In God We Trust, in public schools, things that would be kind of called ceremonial deism by the people that generally support them. Like, oh, it's not really religion. It's all it is, you know, we're just recognizing our shared religious heritage or something like that. So they start with that.
And importantly, which courts have occasionally ruled are
right,
not problems.
It's fine. Exactly. And so they start with the stuff that they view as less controversial. But then they amp up and they go to things that are outright distortions, but, you know, might on some level pass the smell test, but aren't direct attacks on people, but are rather distortions of history. So they'll do things like Christian Heritage Month or the Year of the Bible or resolutions acknowledging the history and contribution of Christians to early American history, things like that. But then the last step, the third step, are the ones that are really dangerous. And these are the laws that put in place refusal of service rights for religious people, where they say, okay, if you're religious, you don't have to follow these civil rights laws. You can discriminate in the provision of health care. You can discriminate in adoption and foster care placements. And they frame it as the government can't take action against you for refusing to serve people who conflict with your religious beliefs. So they sort of turn it on its head and really distort religious freedom into something that, you know, most people don't recognize. But they do that by, you know, amping it up over and over and over again until it becomes the norm. And so that's the coordinated campaign that is called Project Blitz, and it's being put on by the National Prayer Caucus Foundation and some really dangerous elements of the religious right, including the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Family Research Council, those types of people that we fight against all the time. They're the ones who are behind this. And so Allison is monitoring that. We're really the only organization at the national level on the atheist secular side of things that's really engaging at the state level. So actually this weekend, Allison is headed to Missouri to testify against a bill that would make it impossible for people to proceed with lawsuits defending their constitutional rights. It would make it impossible for them to proceed anonymously. And we know that atheists bringing these cases have been subjected to violence, threats, death threats, and have had their homes burned down and things like that because of the lawsuits that they've brought to defend their rights. And so this law would quite literally put a target on the back of anyone in the state of Missouri that was trying to protect their rights.
What kind of resources is American Atheist putting together to help the rest of us who maybe want to fight this? Because Allison can't be everywhere all the time.
Yeah, absolutely. That's very true. As much as we'd like her to be, she can't. She is but one woman. so one of the things that we're working on putting together is a network of state-level activists who can testify on these topics so that Allison obviously doesn't have to do it every single time. We have model testimony that we can adapt for you if people if you see a bill that fits within the Project Blitz framework come up. We have testimony ready to go that you can deliver and adapt it to include your own personal story about how this is affecting your community or your family. But we also are tracking the bills and putting it online so people can be their own advocates. We have tools, including an action center that targets states all across the country, state legislators, but also federal legislators, obviously, as well, to push back when we find these bills. And so we're trying to use our resources at American Atheists as sort of a force multiplier so people can be their own advocates and can use the tools that we've developed as, you know, citizen activists, as on-the-ground lobbyists. And so a great way to find those tools is to go to blitzwatch.org, which is a website that we've created to keep an eye on Project Blitz and to put out resources. The last thing that we're doing that is helpful and is really, I think, expanding the reach that we have is bringing on board allies. We're doing this as part of the Blitz Watch campaign, bringing in other groups that are being targeted by the Project Blitz style legislation. So it's not just an atheist issue. This is an issue for LGBT groups. This is an issue for reproductive health groups. This is an issue for adoption and foster care groups. And so we're getting in the room with those coalitions and encouraging them to sign on to Blitz Watch and to put together resources that speak to the areas that they have expertise in, because this is not just an atheist issue. This isn't just about In God We Trust in schools. And while that is a problem, this is about people's lives when it comes to healthcare access or adoption and foster care.
All right. And this is, it's not entirely a new tactic for the atheist movement to work with non-atheist orgs, but it's relatively new, correct?
Yeah, you know, I think that we have to find common ground with groups where we have overlap. And even if they don't disagree, even if they disagree with us on a few very important things, they may agree with us on one really core issue or one, one thing that actually impacts people's lives and in the way that they experience legislation.
All right, and we will come back and return to that in a couple minutes.
Great.
All right, please stay with us through the break. Stephanie and I will return to Atheist Talk with our guest Nick Fish, president of American Atheists. You're listening to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Mark your calendars to attend the second annual Powderhorn Shark Tank Small Business Competition for Makers, Hustlers, and Entrepreneurs, Saturday, May 18th at 10 a.m. As one of the Twin Cities' most refreshing and authentic community-centered small business competitions, this event will feature live pitches from 13 finalists who offer a wide range of products and services. Six winners will be chosen by a phenomenal panel of judges and will receive thousands of dollars in cash prizes. Held in the heart of South Minneapolis at the Powderhorn Recreation Center, located at 3400 South 15th Avenue. This is a family-friendly event you don't want to miss. The Powderhorn Park Neighborhood Association is the proud host of this event, which is made possible in part by the generous support of several lead sponsors, including U.S. Bank, the Seward Community Co-op, and the Midtown Global Market. Learn more at www.ppna.org. See you all on May 18th.
Native Roots Radio is proud to announce we've added an extra hour.
Yeah, Chushke, 1 hour goes by too fast.
That's right, Uncle Curtis.
I'll have extra time to share important information about our sacred animals.
And report national and native news from all over the country and Canada.
This new hour is sponsored by Robbins Kaplan LLP, dedicated to redefining excellence for high-stakes litigation representation in Indian country.
We are awake.
Atheists, secular humanists, and free thinkers. Here you are listening to the Minnesota Atheists Talk Radio Show, Atheists Talk. We hope you are enjoying it. If having a frankly atheist perspective on the radio waves appeals to you, please consider making a contribution to our radio fund. Our contract came up for renewal, and we need your help if you want the program to stay on the air. That will make sure that you can continue to have opportunities to hear interesting speakers with non-religious perspectives, and you can call up and ask them questions too. Get the details on our website at minnesotaatheists.org, where you will find buttons to make it easy to make a secure donation through PayPal. Or, if you have a business and would like to reach an intelligent, progressive audience, please contact us through our website. That's minnesotaatheists.org. Or call us at 612-588-7031. If you are interested in us, we are interested in you.
Don't believe in God? Join the club. Humanists, atheists, and freethinkers have joined the American Humanist Association since 1941 to advocate for progressive values and equality for non-theists in America. Located in Washington, D.C., the American Humanist Association lobbies Congress on humanist issues, protects the rights of atheists in the courts, and supports more than 140 local chapters. Visit us at AmericanHumanist.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter to learn how you can join the club today.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Hunter Haas. Sunday, chance of showers, partly sunny with a high near 62. Monday, partly sunny with a high near 59. And Tuesday, partly sunny with a high near 59. Mother Earth Gardens, organic gardening supplies and support. Women-owned and independent. Unique in an era where many independent garden centers are closing. They have a huge organic veggie selection on a small urban lot. So visit MotherEarthGarden.com. Again, that's MotherEarthGarden.com.
Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF. I'm your host, Maddie Love, in studio, Stephanie's van, and we are chatting via Skype with the president of American Atheists, Nick Fish. If you'd like to chat with us this morning, you can call us at 952-946-6205, email us at radio@mnatheist.org, find the thread over on Facebook, or tweet us at Atheist Talk. Before we return to Nick, I also wanted to thank our group of dedicated volunteers and the generous donations of you, our listeners. You help keep Atheist Talk on the air and in podcasts. If you are able to help with a donation, please consider visiting our Radio Fund page or our Patreon, where you can get extended interviews. Visit patreon.com/atheisttalk. Minnesota Atheist is a 501c3 tax-deductible organization. We couldn't do the show without you, and we deeply appreciate your support. Music for Atheist Talk is by composer and member Brent Michael Davids, and he's used with permission. Please note all opinions are of guests and hosts only and do not necessarily reflect a Minnesota Atheist organization. Mischief managed. Now let's get back to Nick Fish.
Welcome back, Nick.
Thank you.
We were talking before the break about expanding cooperation with organizations outside of the secular movement. Now, obviously, Allison comes from a LGBTQ activist background. Debbie Goddard has some of that same background. What was your background before you joined the atheist movement?
Sure. So I worked in politics generally. So I worked on the 2008 presidential election down in North Carolina. And then after that, I worked for an organization that did fundraising and marketing and consulting for a variety of progressive nonprofits and political groups, the Democratic Party writ large, but also groups like Planned Parenthood, NARAL, Human Rights Campaign, environmental groups like the Sierra Club and Natural Resources Defense Council, and just really ran the gamut of progressive-leaning political causes. So that was my background, but I've been with the atheist community now. This is 8 years now, I suppose. So, a wide range of experience, but my time has the majority of my time now professionally has been within the atheist community. The one thing I want to just say is that about cooperation is this is something that local groups have been doing for years, right? Is finding opportunities to collaborate with other groups that they agree with. The thing that we're trying to encourage them to do is to do that more explicitly and to find things that, you know, they may not even consider atheist issues, quote unquote. If there are members of your local community group that care about housing policy, go to those sorts of meetings as members of this of your group. If you care about, you know, public transit, do it. Great. That's fantastic. Because it builds connections and it reinforces the connection that your group has with the broader community and can help build allies and build engagement from there.
And I will say it's not exactly the policy of Minnesota atheists to work on issues that are not specifically religious. But in a lot of our volunteering, sure, we do that simply because we recognize as atheists that if anybody is going to build the world we want to live in, it's going to be us.
And I love mass transit, so just saying.
Yes.
I think that we have no shortage of like mass transit nerds in this community. So if that's what really gets you fired up. I mean, the only reason that some of these issues are explicitly atheist or we view them as explicitly atheist is because of the nexus between the policy and some sort of religious privilege. But religious privilege has found its way into so many areas of our society that you can almost find it everywhere. You know, we see it in drug policy. We do see it in housing and urban use policy. We, I don't know, mass transit might be a bridge too far. Ha ha ha. But,
I like your train of thought.
There is certainly no shortage of opportunities for it. And, you know, just what you exactly said there, Stephanie, is we're responsible for building the world we want to live in. The solution to human problems is human action. And so as atheists, we have an obligation, not just an opportunity, an obligation to do the things that will make our communities better. And that can look like a lot of things, but it doesn't necessarily mean that American Atheists is going to come out in favor of any particular housing policy, but what we're going to do is give advocates on the ground the tools to do the type of activism that they want to do. And I think that that's more important than a sort of top-down mandated approach.
So since we're already discussing it in slightly obliquely, let's talk about Debbie Goddard's role and what you're working to do on a national level with the various groups.
Yeah, and so I'm really excited. I started to talk about it before you lost me there at the first break. I'm really excited to have Debbie with us. Debbie is somebody who I've known basically the entire time that I've worked in the community, and she has like decades of experience working within the atheist community, but also bringing in voices from outside the community to expand the reach of the work that we do. And to, you know, challenge our preconceptions and force us to reevaluate what works and what doesn't work. And so, excuse me, she's somebody that when I got the call about becoming president of American Atheists, the first thought in my head was, okay, who can really take our local work to the next level? And the answer to that question immediately in my head was Debbie Goddard. So we posted the job and I sort of said, hey, Debbie, you should really consider applying for this job because I would love to work with you. And thankfully she did. And, you know, and now we've sort of got our feet under us now that that our conference is done and we can actually start the hard work of building resources and toolkits and trainings and programming to empower those local activists. And so that's going to look like, excuse me, us going into coalition partners and saying, here are some groups that we have in these areas that would love to work with you. Make those connections so that people on the ground can get connected to people that they, you know, maybe hadn't considered or had considered but weren't sure which steps to take to get over that initial hump of, you know, how do you even get your foot in the door? And so that's what Debbie is going to be doing is building those resources, sort of leading the strategy of how we can collaborate with these groups in concert with what Allison is doing on the policy side of things. So there's an awful lot of training that's going to happen. There's an awful lot of toolkits and resources being developed. And Debbie is thankfully the exact person that we need to be leading that. So I couldn't be happier to have her on the team.
Now, American Atheists has had state directors for at least as long as I've known about American Atheists, but I don't think the program has been formalized to anything like this point before. Is that correct?
Yeah, we've had this sort of informal relationship, and we're where we create a person that's sort of a point of contact for all of the groups or as many of the groups as possible in the state. You know, everything right now is kind of up for debate. We're not going to get rid of the program, but we want to make sure that the program is functioning in a way that is accomplishing the goals that we have and that we're giving people both the tools and the structure necessary to be as effective as possible, because we acknowledge and, you know, in fact, sort of celebrate the fact that all of these state level volunteers are volunteers. They're people with with actual day jobs that can't drop everything in a moment's notice to go testify sometimes. And so that's why it's really important for us to put everything in the right structure that works for as many people as possible, and to be flexible with that structure so that it can work with as many people as possible, so that we're not losing really talented, really dedicated activists to burnout or to, you know, tripping over our own feet. And that's what we're evaluating right now. And so we're looking at metrics. We're looking at how to do this in a way that actually meets the needs of the community, but also accomplishes the things that we want to accomplish, rather than just doing something because that's how it's always been done. So that's part of what Debbie is doing right now, is building out that that framework now that we're on the other side of the convention.
And I do want to come back to training, because I am a complete training geek. But before I do that, you are also looking for another person to help with this project, correct? What is it that you're looking for?
Well, we're finalizing the job description right now, but at its core, we're looking for an organizer. We're looking for somebody that can motivate and train and sometimes do the hard work of actually getting people from point A to point B to make activism happen. And the great thing that we're hashtag blessed to have is people who are exceedingly good organizers that are already plugged into this community and plugged into this organization. And so we have a lot of interest already before we've even finalized what the job description is going to be or what the or posted the job. But at its core, it's going to be about organizing. It's going to be about mobilizing, and it's going to be about building bridges with allies wherever we can find them to accomplish both policy outcomes, but also to build communities.
All right. And for people who might be interested in this, because that might be a couple of people in our listenership, what is the actual position that people will be looking for you to post?
Yeah, it'll probably be called Field Director, I believe, is the title that we're going to use there. But it will be a field program or a field position. And so they can just check out our website. It'll be at atheists.org/careers as soon as we post it. And it'll go up on all of our social media. And we'll also probably send out a few emails internally to anybody who's already associated with the organization. So just keep an eye on social media channels. It'll be the first new job that we post, hopefully of many, because the need is very great right now. There's again, no shortage of work to do. And so if there's someone out there who maybe it doesn't have the time to do that sort of field organizing, but has the resources to help us in other ways, you can also visit atheist.org/donate if anyone has large sacks with a dollar sign printed on the side of them. we're happy to accept those as well.
Will you take piles of gold coin as well?
Yes, absolutely. We'll take anything we can translate into paying our organizers. I'm happy to do that.
And we do have about a minute before going to break again, but what kind of general ways are you looking at doing this training?
Yeah, the training is going to be in as many formats as we can put it together. So there will be guides, guidebooks, manuals, things like that. There will be webinars and a video series and things like that, but also in-person training. We know that the best way for us to do training is to do it in person. That also looks like training trainers. So it's not just us coming and training you. It's training people that can then train the next set of people as well. That's mastery.
Can we use the word training anymore?
I'm going to try to inject it as many more times into this conversation as possible because it is so important, yes.
Okay, we will have one more segment. And as I said, this is, you know, one of those things that, that delights my geeky little heart. So we will come back to that.
I'm training for it right now.
Maddie, do you have a pun you need to add?
Because no.
This is a traditional. Really?
I don't pun. Anymore.
Covered, yeah.
That's not a trifle. I'll go on.
I've out-punned. She's speechless.
We'll return to our guest president and training of American Atheists, Nick Fish, right after this short commercial break. I'm Maddie Love in studio with Stephanie Zvan, and you're listening to Atheist Talk on KTNF and AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota training.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
Hello, this is Ralph Nader, host of the Ralph Nader Radio Hour. Join me and my guests every week when we dive deeply into the subjects that matter to you the most, but are rarely on the mass media. Every Sunday for early birds at 7 a.m. and Monday at 6 a.m. And if you're not an early bird, 9 p.m. on Monday, right here on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
I've never met another atheist.
Sure you have. Non-believers make up 12% of the population.
Then where are they?
You can meet us at book clubs, pub crawls, discussion groups, movie nights, monthly meetings.
Okay, I get it. How am I going to keep track of all this?
Easy. Sign up for Minnesota Atheist Meetup Group and subscribe to AWE.
What's a meetup group?
Meetup is an online networking site that helps people build communities. We have over 700 members with at least two events every week.
And what is AWE?
It stands for Atheist Weekly Email. It comes out every Friday and lists everything that's going on.
How do I sign up?
Go to the Minnesota Atheists website, minnesotaatheists.org. On the left, click on the words Get Awe-Inspired.
And for the meetup?
Look for the red meetup badge on the right. Above it are the words, click here to check out the meetup group.
I'm sold. Minnesota Atheists, Meetup, and AWE. What's that website again?
MinnesotaAtheists.org.
Hi, my name is Mickey McCabe. I'm the owner of Cucumbers Restaurant at 75th and France, Medina. Many who have dined at Cucumbers are of the opinion that our buffet has evolved from an older, more country-style buffet. They look at our 50-foot salad bar and can imagine a smaller ancestor with far fewer choices. An ancestor that didn't offer as many hot selections or have a bakery with fresh baked muffins and breads. Didn't offer homemade soups and lacked the fresh fruit and ice cream bar that Cucumbers customers have grown to love. But some will say, where are the transitional buffets? In addition, they look at everything that we offer and say that Cucumbers is irreducibly complex. If you were to move just one of our offerings, the entire buffet wouldn't function. Well, I would like to think that Cucumbers was intelligently designed, since I helped design it. But at the same time, it truly is an evolutionary step up the buffet ladder. And as always, if you bring in your atheist newsletter or church bulletin, you will receive a $2 discount off the buffet price. Cucumbers, one heavenly buffet at 75th and France, Medina.
Welcome back to AM 950 KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. You're tuned into Atheist Talk. I'm your host, Maddie Love, and am joined in studio. I'm a host in training, in studio by Stephanie Zvan, and we are happy to be joined by President of American Atheists, Nick Fish.
Well done, Maddie. So, obviously, the subject of the moment is training, and we're talking about training at this point. the leadership of affiliate groups and potential activists who are looking to work with American atheists. What kind of topics do you want to be offering training in, Nick?
Yeah, you know, this is one of those questions that I hope really gets everybody's nerddom fired up here, because, you know, there are best practices out there that you don't even necessarily know are best practices, or you don't even think about when you're first starting organizing a group. This can be anything, you know, from the really exciting to how do you organize a protest? How do you find where to get protest signs? Who do you contact? What sort of permitting do you need? Things like that, to the stuff that some people think is really boring, but is really important for the long-term vitality of a group. Things like bylaws. What do you do for succession planning? That's really important stuff that, can be the life or death of an organization over time. Because nobody really does this forever. And if you do, you're going to suffer from burnout. And so we want to equip people with the tools that they need to make sure that their group is successful in the long run, not just successful for a few years until they get so tired of doing everything in their group that they just have to take a break, or they're going to, literally burn out. They need to know how to delegate. They need to know how to find programming. But some of those sort of more boring things about best practices and fundraising and keeping a membership database and fundraising acknowledgements and all of that, people don't think about when they're setting out to do activism or to build a community, but it's really important stuff that you need to be trained on, because it isn't obvious. We were sort of talking before the show about this, that there are so many things out there that aren't obvious, that aren't what you would call common sense, because they're very counterintuitive, right? And there's no shortage of those even within the nonprofit management space. And so we need to train people on those so their groups can continue, because starting a group is great, but keeping a group for 30, 40, 50 years is even better.
And I will say, without reference to any particular group or incident, because we see this every year within the movement, these are the kind of things that they're not necessarily the exciting parts of running an organization, but they're the kind that can take your organization down if somebody does it wrong.
Yeah. And this isn't anything that even national groups are immune from. I mean, and not even within just the atheist community. I mean, this is the sort of thing that you see across communities, across movements, across every different issue area where things aren't planned for appropriately and something happens. And if you don't have contingencies in place, if you don't have mechanisms and structures in place, it can really be the death knell of what was a very successful organization, if you're not prepared for it. And so that's why it's really important to put in place, robust succession planning, really strong bylaws, that aren't ambiguous in any way about structures and procedures, because it's just good governance, and it gives confidence to people that are supporting your work, if you're putting in place those structures. And that's a really important part of it.
You mean it isn't enough to be right on one big question? We actually have to execute
that? that's stunningly true, yes. Absolutely.
I don't feel that's a question you can be agnostic on.
I did want to touch back on the conference this year. There were two men in particular who were talking about building more welcoming communities. Kevin Bowling was talking about literally how not to drive students away from the movement. Mm-hmm. If you're in it's not really an adult org because these students are adults, but if you're in an established community org. And Zachary Moore was talking very much about how do we create a movement that people still find meaningful when they've maybe moved on from the shock of transitioning out of religion. Mm-hmm. Those are topics that are usually handled by women in this movement. Was that a conscious choice on American Atheist's part?
Well, I, as much as I'd love to take credit for that, no, not necessarily, except to the extent that I knew Kevin wanted was going to talk about students and how to build structures again that are responsive for students. Zach, though, you know, we wanted to democratize the way that our convention speaker proposals happened instead of us just reaching out and filling the needs or filling the spots that we had. We wanted people to be able to propose topics and be thoughtful in the and give feedback on what they wanted to hear at the conference by putting themselves out there. You presented a workshop as well. We had lots of really fantastic people submit really great proposals, and you know they submitted proposals that we thought would resonate with the community. But I do think that both of those topics are extremely important. Religion is about more than just the dogma. It's about the community, and it's about that sense of belonging. And it is about finding meaning or purpose in doing something larger than yourself. But religion doesn't have a monopoly on those things. And we need to get away from being afraid of replicating the things in religion or the things that the churches do that work, as long as they're consistent with our values. And I think having a strong community that is welcoming and affirming and, again, where people can find meaning, there's nothing in tension with our values there. And so we should absolutely do that because it's part of what it means to organize groups. That's at the core of any type of group. So that we wanted to emphasize that, certainly.
So as one of the people who is organizing workshops at Skepticon, I happen to have some inside information that American Atheists will be doing some of this training there. Is that something you would be prepared to give a quick plug for, or...
Yeah, absolutely. We're really excited to be sponsoring Skepticon. We're really excited to have Skepticon back this year. So we will be there. If you want to support Skepticon, certainly come see us. I don't have the dates immediately in front of us. Maybe
mid-August.
You do. Mid-August.
August 13th through 15th, I believe.
13th to the 15th, perfect. We're sponsoring Skepticon. We'll be there. We'll be doing trainings. But Skepticon has always been a really fantastic place for people to come get really good training and to connect with like-minded people. And that's why we're so excited to see Skepticon back and to support the work that they're doing.
All right. Thanks, Nick. So. And I will also just mention that we're going to have you back on the radio soon.
Yay.
Starting, well, soonish at least. Oh. I won't make any promises for Nick's timeline. That's probably not my job. But thank you for joining us today and giving us a taste what American Atheists up to.
All right. Well,
always a pleasure to be here.
Thanks, Nick. Thank you for tuning in to Atheist Talk. We'd love for you to just join us again next Sunday. And if you missed an episode live, you can always catch us on your favorite podcasting app. Please join us for brunch in just a few minutes over at Cucumbers. Proud to be on the air with Minnesota Atheists. Hope you enjoyed the show. Show depends on the generous support of our listeners, members, donors, and sponsors. Please consider supporting the show through the donation link at mnatheist.org. This has been Atheist Talk on AM 950 KTNF.